If you have a Bible tonight, you find our text in the book of Romans. Book of Romans tonight. We thank the Lord for the good singing tonight. Tell you, after that song, a backslidden Jehovah's Witness could preach. Amen. We'll visit that song again at the end. It's in my notes tonight. I want to make a comment or two on it. We began here yesterday looking at a little phrase that Paul uses in his writings 18 times. And it is the little phrase, much more. 18 is a number that is often connected with bondage in the Scriptures, and made up of two numbers, the number 10, the number of completeness or fullness, and the number 8 for the new birth. If we are to be freed from any bondage, we must enter into the much more of the new birth, be placed in His complete fullness. And so we're looking at Paul's much mores in these days, and we're trying to hammer on a little statement that I hope maybe before Wednesday night, if you wake up in the middle of the night, that it would be the first thing that would come to you. But here's the little statement, these much mores, that Jesus is all this, He is all that, and oh, so much more tonight. We looked yesterday morning at the power of Paul's much mores. And then last evening we looked at the pictures of Paul's much mores. I'm going to turn our attention to Romans chapter 11 tonight, where Paul will use this phrase again. And then in 1 Corinthians before we finish up tonight. And bring some thoughts tonight on the position in Paul's much mores. Paul often writes and mentions the joy of being in Christ and Christ in you. Matter of fact, the in Christ phrase is mentioned 100 times in the New Testament, and 75 of those are used by Paul. Seems as though, you correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me he was eat slap up with the thought of being in Christ and Christ being in him. I wonder why Paul was so eat up with that. Could I give this as maybe a reason? Jesus is this, He is that, and oh, so much more tonight. It is in this 11th chapter of Romans that Paul will deal with our position in Christ is a position of much more as it took root, as it took root. He says in verses 11 and 12, I say then, have they stumbled, talking about the Jews, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them, talking about the Jews, to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how? Here it is. Much more their fullness. I tell you, the Jews fail and I've hit the mother load. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. Much more their fullness. Paul says in verse 24, for if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, How much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? As we begin to look tonight at this position of Paul's much more, I draw our attention first of all tonight to a position of forewarning, forewarning. It is in this text that Paul gives a warning to the Jews. He tells them that they have been cut out. They have fallen in verse number 11. They have lost fellowship. They have lost relationship. Salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy. In Acts 18 and 22, the Jews didn't want the Gentiles to have the gospel, and the Jews didn't want it either. But instead, God bypassed them and come to us Gentiles. Do not ever think that the word Gentile is a compliment. It is not. The little Greek word for Gentile, we get our word dog from it. Oh, I know some of you are dog lovers. I'm not a dog lover. You can have all the doggy sugar you want. I don't care for any. But that's not a compliment to be a dog in God's world. The little word also has the idea of the all scouring of the earth. God left his favored people and came to the Gentiles. They lost their picture of a relationship. The fig tree would not bear any fruit. The vine was dying. The olive tree was symbolically drying up. Isaiah chapter 5, he told the nation, I'll lift the heads, let the enemy come in like a flood. A forewarning to the Jews. But oh, he did not leave us out, us Gentiles. Paul gives us a warning as well. He says in verse number 18 of this text, he says, boast not against the branches. He says, do not boast. Do not thumb your lapels tonight that God has saved you. Oh, don't do that. He says, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root bears thee. It's not about you bearing anything. It's about God bearing you. He says in verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. It's a warning to us. What are we Gentiles to do? The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, don't let us neglect so great a salvation. I was meditating on that word neglect recently. The little word means something that demands a lot of attention. Paul said, God has given you salvation. It demands a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. More than three times a week, a lot, a lot, a lot of attention. It's not easily maintained. I guess that's one way you'll know if you've got it or not, if you give it a lot of attention. I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter number 2. He said, give great attention to work out that which God has worked in. It's a warning. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this or not, maybe way over your head. If we ignore him, be assured he will ignore you. It's deep, ain't it? You don't give him a lot of attention. He shall ignore you. But I was wondering, how in this world could you ignore somebody? Who is this? Who is that? And oh, so much more tonight. Demands so much of my attention. I don't know how many days I've got left here upon this earth, but I certainly want to give him a lot of attention. There's a position of forewarning in this text. But I see in the text there's a position of fullness. Position of fullness. He says in verse number 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Jews have been set aside. How come? So that I, as I've already said, could hit the mother load. I could have the fullness of the Jews. I was interested in that little word, fullness. A ship fully laden with cargo that needs never to dock and take on any new cargo. I love the hound out of that, don't you? If Jesus is inside of you tonight, you need not port anywhere else and take on any new cargo. You say, how in the world could that be? Here it is. He is this, he is that, and oh, so much more. I'd asked you tonight, not that you've been down the Romans Road, the German Road, the French Road, been baptized in a baptismal pool or in the creek. Wouldn't ask you tonight if you've ever joined a Baptist church. Hell will be full of people that have done the above. Amen. There's plenty of people in hell tonight, that have prayed the sinner's prayer, been baptized in a baptismal pool and chained, and joined a Baptist church. I'd ask you this though. Are you 100% sure that God Almighty has ever moved inside of you? Amen. And he's living inside of you. Amen. Because if he ain't, I just don't know what God's in me. Hey, somebody is big. Who is this? Who is that? And oh, so much more. He ever moved inside of you, honey, you know it. Amen. He'd hang out everywhere. Oh, a position of fullness. I thought it was interesting that this little word fullness is a repetitive term. Continual fullness. You ever go to Christ and have need of something, his meter is always on the full mark. Take all that you need and look at the meter, it'll still be on full. It hadn't moved at all. Well, how in the world could that be? He is this, he is that, and oh, so much more tonight. You say, preacher, what do you mean he's this? What is it, this, that you need? He's that. What is the that that you need? He told Moses down at Egypt, he says, I am. I'm a blank check, Moses. Fill in what you need. I am that. He says, Moses, I'm food to eat. I can get you across rivers. I can bring plagues and kill your enemies and never touch your people. I am. He is this tonight. He is that. Oh, so much more. Position of fullness. A position of forewarning. I reluctantly use this third point because there is some of you in this congregation, it will not help. But there are some of you that will relish in this third point. Not only is he a position of forewarning, a position of fullness, but he is a position of fatness. Fatness. You skinny people, probably won't enjoy this. We fat people that are getting fatter will love it. You said, where in the world did you get that in the Bible? He said over in the Psalms that the fat is the Lord's, and he loves it. I love that, don't you? Look at verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, thou, being a wild olive branch, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root, and what? The fatness of the olive tree. Oh, honey, I done tapped into fatness tonight. Are you listening to me tonight? I see in this text tonight, this position of fatness tonight, there is a grafting illumination tonight. He talks about us being grafted into fatness of the wild olive tree. He talks about us Gentiles in verse 17 being a wild olive tree. Wow. It's an interesting statement. I was studying that little phrase, wild olive tree. The little word literally, the little phrase there, a dead stick. Dead stick. It's not connected to anything on either end. You can get your little carving knife out and carve on it a little bit. You ain't gonna find no green in this stick. It's all brown. God says, when I found you and saved you, he said you were a dead stick. Amen. I don't know about you, and I'll speak for you. I'm not in the stick collecting business. I would not invite you to my house to show you my stick collection. But he is collecting sticks. But he only collects dead sticks. If you got a lot of flop in you tonight and you feel like you're alive, he can't help you. He's only looking for dead sticks. I love that, don't you? Oh, he says, you were a wild olive tree. But this is what I love. You would think in this grafting idea that we would be grafted into the trunk of the tree. No, 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 no. This one who is this and that and oh, so much more. He did not graft us into the trunk of the tree. Watch the text. Verse 18, boast not against the branch, but if thou boast, thou bearest not. What? Time out. Hold on. Where in this world has he grafted me into? He said, I grafted you into the root. He said, where I've got you grafted, nobody can see it. It's in the secret place. Did I not read somewhere in the Bible where Jesus said that he was the root and offspring of David? Tell me, did he say tonight that he was David's son and he was David's father? You can't do that. He said, I sprung from David and David sprung from me. You cannot be the father and son of an individual. It's impossible. Unless you're God. Unless you're the one that's this, that, and oh, so much more. That's where he's got me tapped in tonight. And it is a position where, this is where I love, where I'm getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and he's getting bigger and bigger, and I'm getting bigger and he's getting bigger. Are you listening to me tonight? I was wondering tonight, when is the last time God swelled up on you and got big on you? I have never had God to swell up on me and get big to me, and it did this to me. Never. I have had him to swell up on me and I get happy. Cry until the front of my shirt's sopping wet. I'm asking you tonight, that grafting illumination tonight. It is a position of fatness And I see not only is there a grafting illumination, there is a grafting illustration. I was thinking about this grafting work. Western North Carolina mountains up around Asheville. It is apple country. In the last few years, they have started a grafting process, and they have been amazingly successful at it. Oftentimes, a red, delicious tree will quit bearing, will not bear any longer. They have started cutting them off at the ground. And they take a crab apple branch, graft it into the red, delicious stump. And in a couple of seasons, it shall bear red, delicious again. I got to thinking, that's what I was. I don't know, you might like crab apples. If you got a 50-pound bag of sugar, I'd probably like them too. But I was just an old crab apple branch when God grafted me into the red, delicious Lamb of God. And I began to bear red, delicious. How in this world can that be? I tell you how it can be. Jesus is this, He is that. Oh, so much more. I love what the old songwriter said. He says, once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's word, the light found me. Now Christ liveth in me. As lives the flower in the seed and as the cone in the tree, so praise the God of truth and grace. His Spirit dwelleth in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Oh, what a salvation. Christ liveth in me. David said in Psalms 1, he was like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A little word planted there is a little word transplanted. Transplanted. To violently rip from one place and stick it in another. You have any historical recollection, you that claim you're going to heaven tonight? You have any historical recollection of God ever ripping you out of one world and putting you in another? Are you listening to me tonight? You remember Him ever ripping you out of the world of darkness and putting you in the world of light? You ever have any recollection of Him ripping you out of the world of death and putting you in the world of life? Oh, to be planted in Him tonight. I was thinking about that. This is just a side issue. That crabapple branch being grafted into that red delicious, begin to bear red delicious. Thinking once again about the full warning that Paul gave us about salvation needs a lot of attention. They tell me that if they don't prune those trees back, right on the end, they'll begin to have water sprouts and they'll start bearing crab apples again. If God don't take this book and I give a lot of attention to my salvation and He don't get me pruned, I'll be in a situation, boom, here come a crab apple, boom, here come a crab apple, boom, here come a crab apple. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking about a grafting illustration. How in this world could Christ do that? Because He is this, He is that, and oh, so much more. Forewarning position of fullness and fatness, You have the Bible there tonight. One other time, Paul would use this word, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I would see that it is a position in the family. God has grafted you into His root tonight. He has grafted you into the red, delicious Lamb of God tonight. Amen. It is a position of a family. We've been placed in a family tonight. I notice that he mentions in our text the setting authority of the family. He uses that word much more in verse 22. He says, nay, much more. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. He says in verse number 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, according to their own choice and by their own will. He doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. He said he set you in the family to please himself. I love that, don't you? Our position in the family has been orchestrated. I thought it was interesting, this little word set here and please are in the aorist tense. It means that God has done something in the past that guarantees something will be done in the present. He has decided before time ever began exactly where you would be stuck in the family. And you thought all along that you had the choice about coming here to Benson Grove. You're a fool if you think that. God places people in the family where He wants them. I thought it was interesting. He says He has set them according to His pleasure as it pleased Him. Oh, the body has eyes, it has mouths, it has hands, it has toes, it has fingers. He decided to place them as it pleased Him. That little phrase pleased Him in a determinate act or purpose of His own will. He decided where you would be at in the family. I don't know about you. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this enough. I love to hang out of that. He stuck me where He wanted me stuck, in the family. Oh, it don't get no better than that. I'm glad God knows where to stick us. But this is what really blows my mind. Not only is there the setting authority in the family, but I notice the setting ability in the family. He says some of the body parts, he makes a statement in verse 19, and they were all one member, whether there be the body. But now, verse 20, are they many members, yet one body? The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, members of the body which seem to be more feeble. You're a member of God's family tonight and you say, oh, I ain't doing nothing. I'm just insignificant. Number one, God says, you're necessary. But it's bigger than that. He says those feeble parts, verse 22, He said you get more of the much more than the rest of us get of the much more. Wow. You're getting more of the one who is this, who is that, and oh, so much more. You that think you're insignificant, nobody cares about you, you can quit sucking your thumb now. Because you get more of the much mores than the rest of us get of the much mores. I love that, don't you? Oh, am I, are you, fat and full from the root of Christ? Paul said that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. I tell you tonight, if Christ is living in you, the whole Godhead is moved inside of you. All of God the Father, all of God the Son, and all of God the Holy Ghost. How in this world can I maintain such a relationship? I want to go back where Sister left us with the song tonight. We must. Gonna give our salvation a lot of attention. We must hang around here. Hang around what? Here it is. Man of Sorrows. What a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. How in this world can he, who gives him the right to reclaim ruined sinners? I tell you what gives him the right. It is because he is this, he is that, and oh, so much more. And when I hear that, I want to say, hallelujah! What a Savior!
Amen.
Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place. What? In my what? Who give him the right to suffer my hell? Oh, I tell you who give him the right. He thinks, and he has convinced me, that he is this, he is that. Oh, so much more. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. When I think about who he is, I want to say, hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. What? Time out. Hold on. He made a what? Full atonement. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to turn over any new leaves. You don't have to straighten up or straighten out. He paid the bill in full. A full atonement. How can it be? I tell you how it can be. Because Jesus is this, he is that, and oh, so much more. And it makes me want to say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Who give him the right to say it's done? It's finished. You don't have to do anything else. The job has been completed. Oh, I tell you what gives him the right. Jesus is all this. He is all of that. Oh, so much more. Everything is finished, his cry now in heaven exalted on high. Oh, when I think about where he's sitting tonight, the only thing I can say is, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring. Who gives him the right to come here and take me there? I tell you what gives him that right. He is all this, all that, and so much more. Then I knew this song we'll sing. When I think about what he is tonight, all I can think to say tonight is, hallelujah, what a Savior.